We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you, and a happy Valentine's Day to you. Bumper to Bumper Sports, spreading the love on this Thursday, February 14th, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Of course, I know a thing or two about that. It's in a name. Ben Love here at the Taproom River Ranch, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, and the full three-hour Monty set to unfold. Right now, the wind is whipping some kind of fierce from outside the taproom. You'll see our flag. Yeah, it's flying. Hopefully it doesn't take flight and go away. But when you see it, make sure you turn in. Come and join us, because today's show is going to be tasty. We've got LSU baseball coming up, Cajuns baseball coming up. Seriously, less than 27 hours away from both. And we're going to get a full preview on both the Tigers and the Cajuns. Big home series, a little more for UL from an RPI standpoint. But LSU is shaking up the weekend rotation, and so some added significance for a couple of freshman righties that now have opportunities and golden ones to lead off this weekend at the box. Great guest list today as well. Between 4 and 7, here's how we shake out. At 4:30, in his usual spot in the order, leading off, Hunt Palmer does a fantastic podcast, not only for LSU basketball, called Hoops with Hunt. He and Charlie Haniger for getting outside the box going as well. I believe this is year 3. And those are a couple of LSU baseball aficionados, if ever there were some. Hunt Palmer, good enough to join us Thursdays at 4:30. Here momentarily, I'm going to run down the changes that Palmineri has made. I'll tell you why, and I'll make sure at 4:30 we get Hunt's reaction to some of those changes on the mound. Hunt will be our only guest in the 4 o'clock hour, but don't you worry. I've got a sink or swim question coming between now and Hunt that I think might keep us chirping for a little while. At straight up 5 o'clock, we get a double dose of Jeff Horchek. KLFY does Pospot 2 early mornings and then middays as well on TV 10. He's with us Thursdays here live at the Tap Room River Ranch from 5 until 5:30. And he has mentioned that he might bring his Valentine here tonight. And yeah, for my man Jeff, that's his dog Trooper. If you've ever seen Trooper on TV, I'm told he's better on radio. So we'll test that theory out 5 until 5:30 today. At straight up 6 o'clock, if Clint plays the Jimmy Buffett, I'm driving to the 237 Roof Studios and taking out kneecaps, even on Valentine's Day. Dan McDonald, Chief Parrothead for the program, will be with us, and that's all about Cajuns baseball. When I called Dan earlier today, he was working on a piece on Tony Robichaud's group, so we'll make sure to get the latest from him on what is a huge series, Longhorns, Cajuns at the Teague this weekend. Dan's going to be with us again straight up 6 o'clock. And if you missed my interview yesterday, right at this time, we let off with Greg Heyer, LSU basketball assistant coach. We're going to run some of the best sound from him at 6:30. So my hoop heads, especially everyone that's excited about LSU basketball, and judging by the conversations I've had in the last 30 minutes at the tap room, that's a lot of you. You will hear from Greg Heyer, a dynamite recruiter, and a guy who's helping out Will Wade on the sidelines this season as well. We're going to run that your way at 6:30. Loaded up today on a Valentine's Day. Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek, Dan McDonald, and you'll hear from Greg Heyer as well. Whenever you want to weigh in, it's as simple as dialing 706-0111. Maneri, less than 2 hours ago, announced the following changes. LSU, of course, Military Appreciation Weekend at the box. ULM tomorrow at 7. The starting pitcher, you already know, it's going to be Zach Hess. So no change there. Saturday, LSU's taking on Army, 2 p.m. first pitch. And no change there either. Freshman righty Landon Marceau from Destrehan After that, there's a shakeup. I'll give you the rundown, then I'll tell you why. Sunday starter, according to Paul Maneri, not long ago, is going to be Jaden Hill, freshman right-handed pitcher from Ashdown, Arkansas. And that means, with not one but two games coming up in the midweek, that LSU is going to shuffle the deck some there as well. Tuesday, Tigers are going to be home against Matt Reiser and the Southeastern Lions, and Cole Henry will get the go there. Another freshman righty. Jaden Hill, we mentioned, he's been impressing. He's from Ashdown, Arkansas. Cole Henry from Florence, Alabama. And then Wednesday, here's probably the name that you've been waiting to hear. Wednesday, Eric Walker is going to get the start. And so his much anticipated return from injury, the redshirt sophomore righty, Eric Walker, is going to start Wednesday, LSU at Northwestern State. Now, here's exactly the rationale that was given. Maneri indicated that both Hess and Walker are still a bit behind. And this winter, really, leading into the start of the spring season, Maneri, pitching coach Alan Dunn, made a very conscientious decision to rest some of their guys. They saw a lot of tired arms. They saw players that not only had deep seasons last year, but a whole lot of them went to play ball up in the Cape Cod League and elsewhere. They just had a lot of usage. And so more than usual, in fact, Paul Maneri told us this maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago as I was sitting right here interviewing him at the tap room. He said we really had to let a lot of our guys kind of just ferment a little bit, if you will, get ready for the season, heal up. And it seems like that chore is not done yet for Hess and for Walker. Zach Hess is still going to get the go on Friday night, but Walker's been pushed back, still expected to be the Sunday starter on weekends or your day three starter. But this week he's going to pitch Wednesday up in Natchitoches at Northwestern State. They're in the subject. Those two, Hess and Walker, are a bit behind, and he doesn't want to stretch them out or, the other alternative, tax the bullpen. He believes that Jaden Hill on Sunday, Landon Marceau on Saturday, both have the potential to go longer than any situation that involves Eric Walker. And so Hill, Maneri added, he's earned an opportunity like this. In other circumstances, might not begin the season as a weekend rotation guy, but they are really impressed with what Jaden Hill is bringing to the dish, or I should say the mound, and that is good news. One other note, Maneri said Eric Walker, he does need more mound time, yes, but he expects him to be available out of the pen in Friday's game. So don't be surprised if you see Eric Walker Friday, LSU in the opener against ULM, and he is going to start Wednesday. Part of the rationale there, Maneri saying this is a pretty decent Northwestern State team we're going to be playing. It'll be our first road game of the year. So this fits kind of all three criterion for Paul. One, Walker should be able to pitch a little bit on Friday night to get his beak wet, a little more mound time. Two, he gets more overall rest before extended run. And then three, they get to bring somebody with a little experience out on the first road game of the year in Natchitoches. So there's the news, some of Paul's thoughts behind why he did it. Again, at 4:30, about 20 minutes from right now, Hunt Palmer will be with us, and we'll make sure to get his takes as well. Nobody's played a game yet. There is no panic. I know. It's a day-to-day show. We'll try not to take this as day-to-day in terms of a topic, but it is interesting, especially if you're heading to the box for one of the four opening games, Friday through Sunday or Tuesday night, with Southeastern coming to town. That will be the order. So again, Hess, Marceau, Hill this weekend. Tuesday, it'll be Cole Henry. Wednesday, Eric Walker. And so three freshman righties, Marceau, Hill, Henry, an opportunity to audition for Maneri and Dunn and for you all at the box. One other thing that I can't help but notice. I wanted to carve out a little time for this to open up today's show. And I know, it's Valentine's Day. The whole love thing's going to be thrown out a bunch. I'm going to bop you over the head with it in our next segment with a certain question. But I walk into the place today, and it just was impossible to miss. Talk about showing some love. Everybody here wants to talk about LSU basketball. And I get it. It's what I do for a living. It's literally the reason I'm here right now. I'm not here to play brick house, so Clint, don't ask. I'm here to talk sports. People know that. the first two people who saw me walk into this place, how about that game on Tuesday night? So I know LSU, UL baseball's coming. Astros pitchers and catchers reported. We're not far removed from National Signing Day. There are new, quote-unquote, professional football leagues that are debuting, but here we are, and this whole area seems to be a buzz, not just the Hub City. I think all of Acadiana and a whole bunch of South Louisiana, everybody still some kind of excited and on cloud nine about Will Wade and LSU basketball. And tonight, we're just getting started with the fun. I'm here until 7 o'clock. After me, from 8 until 11, Eric Gautreau laying down the sound. It's Valentine's Day. If you got plans, I get it. But singles looking to mingle, this would be an awfully good place for you. Or, hey, maybe your lady prefers a good drink to an overpriced meal. If so, well, good on you. But you should come to the Tap Room River Ranch, where we will be right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Question coming for you next on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
There's the whistle. And here we go. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And CD, you told me that you were going to do this, so I'll let you announce your game here. I'm on to you, though, and I respect it. You're going to try and come in and out of as many breaks as possible with the song that has love in the title. So give us the drop there.
Yeah, it's going to be every single when we come back from break, we're going to wind up doing that every single time. Because if I do it every single song, I'd probably wind up running out of ideas, I feel like. But we're going to do it every time when we come back from break.
Yeah, that was my way of getting you to say Jungle Love by the Steve Miller Band. But I appreciate the explanation in full. And so now the joke's been explained. And everybody's in on it. Now, there's an opportunity for what's following to be uncomfortable for you if you choose it that way. But I think you're going to get what I'm driving at here. I think everybody's going to understand the point of my question. So why don't we do this? CD, let's get the music going. And then I'm going to ask a Valentine's-themed sports question.
Love. Exciting.
In honor of Valentine's Day, who is your biggest athlete man crush? You're familiar with that term. I don't have to explain it to you. And yeah, I told you, you can get uncomfortable if you let it, but you know what I'm asking you here. Who is your biggest athlete man crush? I'm going to give mine, Clint's going to give his, and then we want yours. We got time. 706-0111. I've actually got two. I'm going to start locally, though, and it's AK-41. I'm a pretty unabashed Alvin Kamara fan. If you've been around me when I watch Saints games, if you've been to my house, you've heard me call him usually by one descriptor, one adjective. It makes my wife a little uncomfortable, speaking of that word. But I don't know anyone that better describes him, and it's stud. He literally will do things that blow my mind, and I'll say, that guy's such a stud. What a stud. Unbelievable. And my wife said, I didn't think that men were supposed to call other men that. I said, honey, you don't get it. Other than freak, I'm not sure there's a better word to describe what Alvin Kamara does on the football field. He's a stud. He's incredible. And I think he's the most exciting Saints player. Boy, I don't know. I think he's everything that they thought Reggie Bush would be when they drafted him with one of the top overall picks many moons ago. But of everybody who's come through the turnstiles in that franchise, he's the guy that I literally – I've gotten to the point where anything he does, I could nod my head and say, yeah, that looks like something that Alvin would do. When anybody else in the league does it, I would say that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. So I have no problem sharing with you that Alvin Kamara, at least on a local basis, teams that we frequent here on our program, Alvin Kamara is my biggest athlete man crush. CD, what say you?
You know, I must stick with the local side of things and just go with the New Orleans Saints and go with quarterback Drew Brees. How can we not go with him? He's definitely just seems like a great guy on and off the field. And how can you not make that the man crush? Just because, like I said, just a really awesome guy, and he's definitely one of the cooler guys. Probably a guy you wouldn't mind just hanging out with.
I'm going to share one that's a little more, global, if you will, or at least out of the area. I don't mind sharing either that I have a man crush on Russell Westbrook, and what he said yesterday just further solidified it. He said, and basically I'm paraphrasing, I was born with an amazing gift not to give a bleep. Or one of my biggest strengths is that I don't give a bleep. And the guy clearly doesn't. I don't really beat the drum of him being a stat hunter, a guy who's stats-driven only like so many others do around the country. I think it's a fairly lazy take. I just think he's one of the most extraordinary point guards that we've ever seen play the game. With the leaping ability, he's like one of the most incredible athletes at the shooting guard position, except he plays point guard. I know. He doesn't have feathery touch from outside, but the distribution is regular. It's impressive. You can win a championship with Russell Westbrook being your best player. I do believe that. But more than that, the things he does on the court, almost kind of AK-41-esque on the hardwood, yeah, man crush. Russell Westbrook and the way he goes about it. I'll tell you this, because I farmed the question out a little bit here at the tap room, and I got what I think is a worthy submission here. And I was given Jason Duffner. And the conclusion that this person came to is, except for the whole going to Auburn thing, he's basically everything that you would want to be, right? I mean, he's got a major win. Only one, but he's got a major win. I mean, absolutely loaded from winning golf tournaments. And married way, way, way above his station. And so the wife, a smoke show. And perhaps that should be a factor in all this. If you're going for a man crush, I guess more than anything else, it's basically somebody that you want to be, right? And so maybe that should be something that we put into the conversation. Right now, it's a bit of one-way traffic. Maybe you're a little too uncomfortable for it. Okay, I threw you a sports chat style question today. It's Valentine's Day. Who's your biggest athlete man crush? Open up. 706-0111. Yeah, we got Hunt Palmer coming aboard. We're going to talk plenty of LSU baseball today. We've already given you the change-up in the weekend rotation. Jeff Horchak will be with us. Probably expand it a little more to national conversation there. Maybe get into the latest on Anthony Davis, although that is not getting any prettier right now in the Big Easy. And don't forget Dan McDonald at straight up 6 o'clock. He'll give us a preview of Raging Cajuns baseball this season. But looking for your athlete man crush on a Valentine's Day. And I believe the question's also out. Clint's put it up on Facebook and Twitter as well. Interesting. Okay. It's a cricket situation. I guess I could ask you who your favorite, you know, just female athlete is, but I don't know that I like that direction as much just because I don't know that that conversation's going to go swimmingly on the radio. Don't know that I trust YP, you people out there in listener land, to handle that one with care. So I'm not going to go down that road with you. I don't know that I like that one as much. Just could get a little ugly, and I'm not sure that we should. So at any rate, started off with LSU baseball. Got a question for you now, and it's a lead balloon. Yeah, okay, it happens. Hashtag shut up, Ben. There we go. We've gone full circle with the sports chat. And just when I was ready to give up hope, we've got somebody who wants to jump in. God bless his soul. Let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Eric, take a stab at this one.
Yeah, man, you went with Russell Westbrook with his swagger, but I got to go with Joe Burrow. This is a recent crush coming down, taking over the heart of the team. And ever since that Miami game, when he came out with the swagger, it just developed since. And I have a hard time turning him down, you know?
Eric, I'm going to tell you why else that's a really good one. He, I believe in his fourth game, I think it was, at Tiger Stadium, helped to lead LSU to an upset of number 2 Georgia and pounded his chest after a long run late in the game and said, "This is my bleeping house." Yeah, that takes a pretty big set.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, the last game. I mean, how can you not love that guy?
That's a good one. Eric, we appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, our man Eric is on the board. We got time for one, maybe two more in honor of Valentine's Day. Maybe we need to throw the word platonic in there. Maybe that'll make some of you feel a little bit better. Who's your biggest platonic athlete man crush? Whether you just absolutely admire the way they play, or kind of like what Eric said, what they're about, their swagger, their mannerisms, or it could be the Jason Duffner mold. It could be the guy who has had some level of success and, well, is also marrying way above his station. We're going to call that the Jason Duffner mold, but I also think that maybe Matt Flynn could apply. Some people are out there collecting mailbox money. Dude got clipboard money for years and a lot of it. All right, back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, I've given you the question. What's your answer?
Devin White, Michael Jordan, and since you want to tackle the question, Maria Sharapova.
Hey, look, that one goes without explanation. I appreciate you stating a very popular opinion and not taking it in an ugly direction. You're the man, T.
All right, buddy. Love your show, man.
There you go. Yeah, look, Clint, you know what? You tell me. Before we hit a break here, maybe I'm off base on this. Should we open this up? I just don't know that I really want it to become that type of question. But should this be Sacred Swim Part 2 and only you can answer, brother? Should this be opened up to basically who's the hottest female athlete? I just don't know that. I don't know that that's typical B2BS material. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily B2BS material, but I mean, if you want to kind of throw that in there, just try and keep it as clean as possible, or just follow what T said and go with Maria Sharapova. That way, you can kind of be a Brewster's Millions, none of the above, if you will, type situation.
There you go. There you go. Okay, now I think you're driving down the right path here. I just don't want to turn this into basically like the same blog post that every radio station around the country does. Oh, it's the babe of the week. Oh, man, babe of the month. Okay, we get it. You have the internet. We all do. But maybe it's not a bad idea. You call in with your athlete man crush, and then you can also just hit us with a name. I like that. So Maria Sharapova in for T, as well as Devin White, Michael Jordan. Eric called in, and his is Joe Burrow. I don't know if this guy's a man crush of anybody's, but he's really, really smart when it comes to LSU baseball. Hunt Palmer, he'll join us next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Maybe a little too predictable there. We'll get Hunt's take on that. And the over-under on the amount of weeks it took for me to get tired of that lead-in drop with Hunt schooling me, I had it at 2.5, and I should have pounded the under. I'm already tired of it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. It is time for our good friend Hunt Palmer, among other things. He is the co-host of the Outside the Box podcast, 104.5ESPN.com. I'm sorry for a little bit of the Robert Palmer there, Hunt.
It's all good. Not the first time, won't be the last.
I understand. That plus that little intro, well, maybe we're both just going to have to get past it here on a Valentine's Day. Okay, we got an announcement for Paul Maneri today. Jaden Hill going to slot into the Sunday spot for this weekend. Again, we do a day-to-day radio show here. You get the business. There's no reason to overreact. Walker just needs a little more time. But let's spin it to the positive. What type of opportunities is this for Jaden Hill, and what do they think so far about the freshman righty from Arkansas?
Yeah, great opportunity for him. He was going to start one of the first five games anyway, whether it be, you know, at this point in the season, whether it's the weekend or in the midweek, the competition's kind of all the same. It's lesser competition than what you'll see down the line. But Jaden Hill's an incredible athlete. He was a really good high school quarterback up in Arkansas. He's 6'3", 6'4". Kind of an imposing frame, and he's got a big arm. It's not the most fluid delivery you've ever seen. It's a little herky-jerky, but it's from a tall frame, and it comes downhill in a hurry. He'll get it up there to 94 miles an hour in the first inning. He'll settle in there around 92, And the thing that really impressed me about him last week when I saw him that I didn't see as much of in the fall was the breaking ball was really good last week. Obviously, Alan Dunham, he had put in a lot of work on the slider, and it was falling off the table. He was dominant when I saw him last week. So he's and this freshman crop of arms is as good as I've ever seen in one class, and he's right up there with all of them. He's really good.
Hunt Palmer, our guest on 103.7 The Game. All right, let's stick with the freshman righties. It'll be Landon Marceau, as expected, on Saturday. We just mentioned Hill on Sunday. Tell us a little bit more about Cole Henry. He's going to get the start. Another freshman righty, as we mentioned, from Florence, Alabama. He'll go Tuesday at home against Southeastern. What do you know about him? What do you like about him?
Well, I was thrilled to see him last week and see that he looks healthy because obviously he had to miss the fall with an injury like so many of the pitchers did. Another big frame. He's 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and he throws hard. He was sitting at 92 for the majority of the time I saw him, but he got an 0-2 count on Drew Bianco and reached back for a little more and hit 94 on the gun. He's got a good breaking ball. He already has a feel for a changeup, and sometimes that pitch takes a long time to develop for freshmen. You know, the rare guys like Eric Walker have already kind of mastered that pitch, but Alex Lang barely left LSU with a changeup. He was kind of a fastball breaking ball guy the whole time. Cole Henry does have feel for a changeup, and he's a polished pitcher. He's got a big frame. He throws hard. He'll factor into the staff big time.
Hunt, I guess we got to look at what Maneri plans to do Friday as well when it comes to the everyday lineup, or at least what he's going to do Friday. And it's hard to miss Saul Garza. He's going to be in a spot batting sixth as a DH. What are some realistic power numbers and expectations for that young man this year?
We'll see. He's physically got a ton of power. I mean, you watch him take batting practice, you watch his bat speed, it's impressive. But we've never seen him face elite level pitching. You don't do that in high school, you don't do that in junior college. So that's you always wonder if that's going to translate. I predicted that he's going to hit 15 home runs. I think his power is going to play in the SEC. But we'll have to see. Obviously, Paul Maneri said on Media Day when practice started that he'd like Garza to hit third. And he really liked him right in the middle of the order. And he didn't see enough over the next two or three weeks in the scrimmages to keep him there. He bumped him down to the sixth spot, too many strikeouts. So we'll see if that power translates. I tend to think it's going to, but you just never know until they get out there.
The five listed ahead of him, at least as it's expected to go down tomorrow night against ULM, Smith, Broussard, Duplantis, Cabrera, and Watson. Do you like the way that they maybe have staggered some of the lefties there? We know a lot of speed, a lot of power, but do you like the way so far that it's kind of staggered?
I'm surprised Broussard's hitting second. I had he and Hughes down there at 8-9. The question is, what is Brant Broussard? Before he got hurt last year and while LSU was facing some inferior pitching, he was the leading hitter on the team. Then he got hurt, tried to rush back, got into some SEC play, and he hit like 190 against the SEC. So what kind of hitter is he? So we'll see. He's got to be getting on base in front of those guys. Whoever's hitting in that crop of hitters with Smith and Duplantis and Cabrera and Watson, you got to get on base. So that's going to be the key for Brant Broussard. Paul Maneri thinks that as a senior he's going to be able to do that. So we'll see. You know, I like Duplantis in the leadoff spot, but obviously he wants a run producer in there at the three hole, and he's comfortable with Duplantis there because he's done it before. He did it a lot last year, hitting in the three hole and driving in a lot of runs. It doesn't necessarily have to come with power, but he gets a lot of hits, hits a lot of doubles. So that's what he likes there in the three hole. And I'm okay with Josh Smith hitting leadoff. Paul Maneri in the past has liked guys in the leadoff spot with a little bit of pop in their bat. They can hit some doubles, hit some home runs. DJ LeMahieu hit leadoff. You saw Sean McMullen, who was not nearly the fastest guy on that team with Laird and Stevenson and those guys. He hit leadoff because he liked his ability to hit the ball with a little bit of pop. Kramer Robertson was a guy who could swing the bat and hit with a little pop. So that's kind of been Paul Maneri's MO, and Josh Smith fits that bill. I think Josh Smith's going to have a monster year. I think he'll be in consideration for some All-American honors, certainly all SEC honors. I think he's ready to be that kind of player.
Continue with Hunt. It's leadoff for us every Thursday during the baseball season at 4:30. And I'm using Garza kind of as that line in the sand. We just gave you the five before him. He's expected to bat sixth on Friday. The three after him, Bianco, Mathis, Hughes. Let's stick with Drew Bianco. More ready to go early on in his career in the field or at the plate?
Oh, no doubt at the plate. No doubt. He was a shortstop in high school, but he right now is not a great defender, and they're going to put him at first base. I haven't heard a quote on this, so this is just a guess by me. I think he was going to start a freshman at first base. It's going to be Bianco, Cade Beloso, C.J. Willis, or Gavin Dugas. And those were his options. They were all freshmen. I think he's probably starting Drew Bianco because Drew Bianco is not going to be overwhelmed by opening night of college baseball. He's been around it his whole life with his dad. And I think some of the other guys might be a little wide-eyed when they get out there. So I think, Bianco's a really good player. He's certainly the player that all three of those other guys are. But I think that's probably the reason he's going with him. I have a little bit of a question mark about LSU's defense at first base early on. They got two converted shortstops going over there, and Dugas and Bianco. C.J. Willis was a catcher in high school, so I don't know what he can do over there. And then, obviously, Beloso was the first baseman in high school, but he's not a great athlete. He's just a big left-handed slugger. So first base defense has been a little hairy when I've gone out there and watched them. So we'll see. That may be something to keep an eye on. But I think Bianco looks to me like he's ready to hit, certainly against the type of arms that LSU will see this weekend.
Before we let you go, Hunt, your level of enthusiasm about LSU basketball, has it been this high since 2006?
I was pretty into it in 2009, but this has been pretty special to watch. Obviously, the 09 team won the conference outright, and the win they got on Tuesday was the biggest one since Tasman hit that bucket in 2009 at Rupp to win the SEC. But this has been a ton of fun. What a transformation Will Wade has undergone here with the roster he inherited and the product that he's putting out there right now. It's been truly amazing to watch. And we'll say they can keep their head above water for the next couple of weeks and then have some fun in March, because that would be awesome.
We appreciate you hopping on, not only on a Thursday, but on a Valentine's Day. And I'll make you one promise moving forward. I'll make sure that all the Robert Palmer is just stricken from the logs back in the studio.
All right, well, that'll work. I'll come back next week.
He's the man. He is Hunt Palmer. And again, the basketball podcast, Hoops with Hunt, is daily during this LSU basketball season. The baseball podcast, and again, you're going to be getting this in your life soon, is Outside the Box, both at 1045ESPN.com. We're appreciative, as always, of Hunt's time. One other note on LSU baseball before we hit our final break in the hour. I hadn't seen this, so I'll credit James Moran, who, of course, joins us Fridays at 5 p.m., but the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine said Palminteri offered these approximate pitch counts, innings caps, for guys that he's going to throw over the weekend. For Zach Hess, 4 innings. He's hoping tomorrow night against ULM. So, again, the message today from Moran is that Hess and Walker are a bit behind, and he doesn't want to stretch him. He'd also rather not tax the bullpen. It sounds as if Eric Walker might be able to go 3 innings on Friday. So if I had to guess, just reading between the lines of what's being shared today from head coach Palminteri, a combination of Hess and Walker are going to try to get LSU through to maybe the 6th or the 7th inning tomorrow night in the opener. Now, as far as Landon Marceau on Saturday and Jaden Hill on Sunday, Moneri said 80 to 90 pitches for both, so they're not really on any severe pitch counter limitation at all. All right, we are going to take that break. When we return, we'll get some of your responses for LSU baseball. Heck, you can get in if you want on UL baseball. Pitchers and catchers reporting, or you can answer the sink or swim question of the day. We've got some good submissions via Facebook. Your biggest athlete man crush on this Valentine's Day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, I know this one, Clint. I know this one. This is Journey. I'm going to go Stone in Love for 1,000, Alex.
You win on that one, Ben.
Yes.
For what it's worth, this has been requested by your wife for quite some time on the show.
Well, here we go. It's a real thing. It's happening. And I guess this is my gift to her on Valentine's Day. Hopefully I get something else, or else there will be nothing else gotten anywhere. So this is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in live on 103.7 The Game. We're having fun here at the Tap Room River Ranch, and we've thrown out, I think, an entertaining question. I'll remind you, in honor of Valentine's Day, who is your biggest athlete man crush? We got time for you here. Jeff Horchek sitting in 5 until 5:30. But you got an answer? Hit us up. 706-0111. And I think somebody is sharing a wavelength with Eric, who called in earlier. Our guy, oh, man, you just, this was almost predictable. I rolled out a question, and people are having a fairly predictable answer. It's funny that we played the Steve Miller Band earlier, because our guy Steven Miller says it's hashtag Burbank Joe. He's going with Joe Burrow as his athlete man crush. Hey, that's not a bad one. And I guess I'll give you this one as well, because I think if you understand the spirit of the question, then, well, you're not going to get uncomfortable here. But if I can go that route, and if we're going to make some of the college athletes, I don't know, within boundaries, on limits here, as opposed to off limits, I'm going to suggest that it would be a pretty good life to be Mondo Duplantis. That's just another one I'm going to throw out there. So whether you term that as an athlete man crush, eh, you know, whatever. I do know this. A guy who is, I don't know if he's 19 yet. I don't. 18, 19. It's a safe statement. Freshman in college. And is, I don't even think arguably, I think from what I've read, from what I've researched, observed, and heard, I do believe he is, I mean, unquestionably the greatest amateur pole vaulter of all time. I don't care what your skill is, what your competition is, what your sport is, what your skill set is. If you're the greatest to ever do it before a certain age or of any age of all time, boy, that's, I mean, all pun intended for the pole vaulting crowd here, that is rarefied air. And so for me, Mondo Duplantis, that's not a bad one either. So we've gotten some Burbank Joe submissions. We've had Eric call in with that exact same thought. T called and said it's Devin White. It's Michael Jordan. And because we said you can name a female, I don't need you to completely ogle her on live radio, he gave us Maria Sharapova. Understood. Understood. Come in for more when you're ready. 706-0111. All right. Other topics going around today in the world of sports. A lot of conversation right now about Anthony Davis. I've intentionally kind of pulled the plug on some of that talk here because, well, it's not getting any friendlier. It's not getting any better for the home team or you, the fans. And we did throw some shade at Anthony for suggesting that the team sucked and nobody seemed to really be caring or trying. Well, there's probably a reason behind that. And then on the Pell side, some of the reporters locally were led to believe that there's been the threat of $100,000 a game fine levied against the franchise if they sit AD. But then the NBA's official stance is, we don't know what you're talking about. Well, and so, I you know, the person I kind of feel for the most here individually is Alvin Gentry. And to me, it's pretty simple. There are many who believe his job is, I mean, going the way of the dodo bird, going the way of Dell Demps by the time this season's over. It's extinct. He's done. I don't know that I'm 100% convinced of that yet. I know too many people who respect Dell, who believe he's earned his way toward this position, and that there's a chance, I don't know about a good chance, but there's at least a chance, that should the Pelicans bring in a new regime in the front office, that they might still want to play run and gun and that they might still like their chances with Alvin Gentry and the rapport that he's been able to develop with some of the other non-Anthony Davis players. So I feel for Alvin Gentry in this whole thing, but you know, there's one other element that to me, I won't say it was always obvious, but it's become very clear now. You remember earlier when I listed Russell Westbrook as one of my athlete man crushes? I'll connect those dots here. And part of the reason is swagger, and I made the comment that you can win a championship if he is your best player. Because if the Thunder do with this current lineup, he's their best player, not Paul George. PG-13's a heck of a player, an all-star in his own right. But Russell Westbrook is a freak, and he carries himself like the the lead. He carries himself like the man. And so I don't know that that is in the core DNA of Anthony Davis, and you can't implant it in somebody. And so that's something else that to me has become obvious through this whole process. I'm not going to be ignorant enough to tell you that from a talent standpoint, the Pels are better off without AD because he is a generational type talent with the size, the things that he can do. But from a competitive DNA makeup, yeah, I am going to tell you that. That they might just be better off without him. Because when he wasn't playing, the team at least had some heart. They were playing for something, and they scratched across a few wins, in particular at Houston, that nobody expected. And now he's back, and I know that there's just a pin in the balloon feeling because nobody wants to play for him or with him. But again, if you don't have that lead player with that eye of the tiger or whatever you want to call it, that killer instinct, I just don't know that you can win a championship in the modern era in that sport where that lead player is 20% composition of what's on the floor at all times, but a lot more than that in a locker room that's only got, what, 11, 12, 13 players instead of what you always see in the professional baseball ranks of 25, 30-plus. Professional football ranks, 53. That alpha dog could just mean so much when it comes to the hardwood. So the latest happenings in New Orleans, it's kind of the same old. And I feel for Alvin Gentry because I don't know that he's getting to really do much more to state his case to stick around. But I do know that even though it's going to take a while and it's going to be ugly, a transformation in New Orleans eventually could lead to greener pastures. And there might just be someone a la a Jason Tatum. Someone that comes in and not only has the physical tools, but can galvanize that locker room and give them something that they haven't had probably since CP3 was there, because Chris Paul, I do believe, has that type of makeup. Now, he can't get it done on his own. He's a distributor. But Chris Paul, I think in a heartbeat, would cut you to win. And that's a little bit of what I'm talking about here. All right, CD, interesting first hour. A visit from Hunt Palmer. We've had some love songs, but you know, songs with love in the title, bumping us back in. We've had a topic that didn't exactly catch flight. I guess it happens. They can't all be aces. But here we are at the end of the hour. So let's get to one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Two. We've already talked about LSU baseball. We'll have more Cajuns baseball conversation later, but winning two out of three against a ranked Texas team would go a long way to setting the bar for this season. And not just for a team that's starting over at a lot of places at pitcher, but for the fan base as well. One that wants to believe again in a team that could be better than just pretty good in the Sun Belt. One that can get back to where it was not long ago when we're talking about hosting regionals and then even once a super regional. It's a fan base that wants to believe not only in a team that's replacing a lot of pitchers, but that consistently offense can be seen at the tee. And what would go a long way toward that? Taking two out of three from a talented Texas group this weekend here in the Hub City. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're coming right back. Jeff Horchek, scheduled to join us from 5 until 5:30. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Off and running. Hour two of three underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Joined every Thursday. Our pleasure here at the Tap Room, 5 to 5:30 by Jeff Horchek. KLFY, Pospa 2 in the mornings and midday as well. How are you, Jeff?
Doing great, Ben. How are you? Good Thursday afternoon to you, and good happy Valentine's Day.
There it is. And so Ben and Jeff are here, the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. As always, in this half-hour block, we'll take your phone calls. Just give Clint a call. 706-0111. And part of the reason I love bringing you here, you're like boots on the ground who comes in knowing stuff. And, yeah, I've got a laptop in front of me, and there's all kind of sports TV on around me, but somehow, some way, this Adam Silver tidbit escaped me. And so the briefest of backgrounds, he is the NBA commissioner. He was an understudy, kind of an apprentice to David Stern, took over that job after Stern retired. Apparently, the NFL, via owner's request, has reached out to Adam Silver, just gauging his interest in switching teams, if you will. And what would you think about being the NFL commissioner? Jeff, that's wild.
It is. It's kind of surprising, to be honest with you. I mean, of all people, you wouldn't think they would go to the commissioner of the NBA. You'd think they'd go to somebody in the NFL family and say, hey, gauge your interest. You know, are you interested? But apparently they've contacted him, and he said, well, I feel really good to be in this position. I haven't even thought about the NFL. And so that makes you wonder, you know, is it time? Are the owners looking at, okay, let's move Goodell on. It's time for a change, which we've been saying here for several years. I think it is time for a change, but apparently the owners are feeling that. And let's be honest, you and I both have talked about how the NFL owners really run the league. I mean, they're the ones who the commissioner has to attend to, and he has to take care of the owners, because if he doesn't keep the owners happy, then he's probably out. So it makes me wonder how much
owners unrest.
Yeah, and because it seemed like he was in good graces, Goodell, with the owners. Everything was going great. They got two teams in L.A. now. You know, but, you know, the ratings for the Super Bowl were super low. You had the controversy, the no-call with the NFC Championship game. And there were people with the AFC Championship game didn't like the way it went. Super Bowl was awful to see in every way. I mean, it's just making you wonder now. Maybe it's time for a change. And I think if you polled 98% of people out there who are sports fans, they would probably agree, yeah, it's time to get a new guy in there. So maybe it's starting to happen.
But I'll tell you this. I think the other side of this maybe is more fascinating. I don't know if it's more newsworthy, because you're right. Goodell maybe being on the out, or at least the beginning of his end, that's more newsworthy.
Yeah.
But the intriguing part is, like you said, that they'd go to the commissioner of the NBA. And to me, what this reminds me of so much is, I hear it all the time, hey, if you could sell, you could sell. Don't have to know anything about the product. So – apparently, if you can commish, you can commish. The hell with the sport. You don't even know to do football.
Well, yeah. I mean, Silver is – I'm not sure that he would – there are people that feel like he's letting the players run the NBA now, too. He's not strong enough as a commish.
A players commissioner.
Right. So I'm not sure that would necessarily be the guy you want to go into Goodell's spot either. But I think they just were gauging just to see if there was any interest. Who next? They're going to go to the NHL commissioner? And the MLB commissioner asked, I mean, why not go in the family? Because the NFL has always kind of liked to do that. I mean, so, but it just makes you wonder. I'm curious, too, to find out more about why they would even remotely think about asking Silver, engaging his interest. Do they feel like he's doing a good job with the NBA? Do they feel like he's a guy that could transition? Do they feel like he's a guy they can manipulate? See, all those things you have to wonder about.
It's a great question. I'll tell you this. I think that the biggest win Adam Silver has had in the NBA, at least from a perception standpoint, I'm not saying it's what I believe, is the way that he handled the Donald Sterling situation with the Clippers. And I think that, more than anything, galvanized that league and the Players Association, the owners, got to at least more of an accord. Possibly that's what they're thinking. Do we have somebody who's capable of uniting? And the idea of a players commissioner, yeah, you don't want him to get walked over, but maybe he's a uniting lightning rod figure.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a recognizable name because people know who he is. So he commands instant respect because he's coming from another, you know, successful league. But I don't know. It's really interesting. It makes you wonder. It's like, what are they thinking? You know, what are they really thinking? Because I kind of felt like, hey, Goodell was in good with the owners. Everything was going good. Now, he has had, and we talked about this last week, he's had tons of scandals under his reign, more than Tagliabue, more than any commissioner I've seen in recent date, whatever sport. So it makes you wonder if that's starting to catch up to him now. You know, it's time to and get out in front and address issues. And so I will say this about Silver. He does seem to address issues promptly. He doesn't wait and let him drag like Adele. Like you said, the Donald Sterling, then he comes right out and takes care of business right out of the gate before they continue to develop into worse situations. So maybe from that aspect, they feel like maybe he can handle more. I don't know. It's interesting. Well, I'm sure we're going to find out more about it.
I'll tell you why I bring up Sterling as well. Again, this show very intentionally stayed away from a lot of the Colin Kaepernick taking a knee conversation. Mm-hmm. I just think in the Deep South, it's something that is never going to play over well air, right? Okay, so we can be honest and put the cards on the table here. But maybe the way he handled the Donald Sterling situation gives hope that he can put a little better face to some of the image issue that the NFL has. Because I will tell you, the other thing, in reaction to the NFL, and not only Cap, but everything with taking a knee and everything that was going on, Silver was very clear that in the NBA, we want our players, and not just the players. If you look at Steve Kerr in Oakland, we want our players and coaches to have a voice. We're not going to stifle their voice. Again, does that play well with Joe Public? Not everybody in that group, I'm sure, but I think that might be part of it, is how can he help put a good face on what's become a tarnished league?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. You know, David Stern did a great job with the NBA over the, you know, the 80s and the 90s of creating a good image, you know, and getting people back to the games. Like you said, showcase the superstars, but not letting them run the league. He was still the top dog, but he had great superstars out there. And the NFL has a lot of talent, too. But you're right. Maybe an image cleanup. Maybe that's what we're looking at. This guy has experience with that. He's handled it at a top level, a major sport. So the transition wouldn't be as difficult once he learns the NFL a little more, the game, compared to bringing a guy up. But, you know, Goodell was brought up through the ranks under Tagliabue,
right,
and knew the game and was right there with the NFL for many years before he became the guy. So what was the problem? You know, why? So I don't know. It's just – it's interesting to see that guy. I'm curious if the owners wanted that even to get out.
Well, that's what I was about to say. The other possibility we need to explore here, behind door number three, Adam Silver's agent decided that he needed a raise.
Oh, that's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
I mean, this is leaked out maybe for a reason, and the amount of public attention on how much money Roger Goodell makes,
mm-hmm,
yeah, maybe Adam Silver's agent looked around and said, wait a minute, he makes how much money a year? 30, whatever, $5 million a year? Maybe my guy needs a little bit of a bump. So this is the old leak my name because I need some more dough play.
Could be. We're in a different age now with the way news travels. It's very difficult to keep that type of news quiet. You know,
right,
one person has it and tweets it or tells somebody and they tweet it. And before you know it, it's all over the world. So it's getting tougher. But you're right. It could be a play just to get his stock up and get his pay up. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if there's anything to this, and if there's really talk about moving in a different direction with an NFL commissioner. Because I think a lot of people think that it's time, including myself. I really do think the NFL needs a new figurehead. Goodell's had his time, and it may be time to turn the page and get a fresh new start. It may be good for the entire league. You know, the fan base needs it. Sometimes you got to turn the page. You have a window, and then when that closes, it's time to move on. And I was always wondering who was the one that would make that decision. And it must be clearly the owners who say it's time to get a new leader and let's move on and start looking. So we'll see if the ball starts rolling. That'll be interesting because the NFL has a lot of image issues right now, and it hasn't gotten better under Goodell's reign. It's gotten worse.
We'll move on a little bit from some theater of the absurd to what's been an absurdly good basketball team lately, and that's LSU. Our guest every Thursday from 5 to 5:30, Jeff Horchek. Hanging out here, come see him at the Tap Room River Ranch. He's on Twitter, at Horchek77. LSU Hoops, your biggest takeaways from not only the win against Kentucky, but what you've seen this season.
Well, I'll tell you, big game for them in Lexington. It's been a while since they've gone on the road and beaten a top-five team. And even though there was a little controversy at the end on the tip drill, hey, they finally a Louisiana team got a call, right? Right? And they win the game, steal one out in Lexington. That's always huge, no matter, you know, how good or bad the Kentucky team is. Winning at Kentucky's big. You know,
sixth time ever for the program.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It doesn't happen very often. And I heard Will Wade talk after the game in his interview saying, "Hey, you know, I told my kids not to be intimidated. We're not playing John Wall and Towns and all the great Kentucky players. We're playing this Kentucky team. We're playing our LSU team, and I like my LSU team." I mean, it's interesting because I was looking through the roster the other day for LSU, and I noticed that a lot of his players he's got come out of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. He must have a tie in the Northeast because he's recruiting a lot of Northeast guys. And there's not a whole lot of Louisiana kids on that team. He's got a few. The young man who was tragically shot and killed this year.
Yeah, Wade Sims.
Right, he was a Baton Rouge kid. And there's a couple others, but not a whole lot. So his pipeline to the Northeast looks like it's paying off for this year at least.
Well, look at the makeup of his staff, and it'll inform everything you just said because I think you're spot on, right? He went out and got guys who have regional and national recruiting connections, and the only person with Louisiana roots on his staff is really in more of a player development role, kind of like what Kevin Falk does for LSU football. That's what Tasman Mitchell does for LSU basketball. But I've said this for a long time. It's so rare that you get a group like LSU's 2006 Final Four team that has a nucleus that's all from Baton Rouge slash Louisiana. I don't believe you can win a basketball national championship with all Louisiana kids on a roster. I just don't, and there aren't enough elite-level players. Football's a different story.
Right.
You can have 90% of an LSU football team from Louisiana, we've seen it before, go to and win a national championship. Baseball's a different story as well.
Right.
Basketball's a different way. So it's a good point that you make. Tremont Waters from Connecticut, Naz Reid from New Jersey, some of these other kids that are transfers came from different parts of the country.
A few New Yorkers up there, I know. You know, and you talked about when they had when Brady was there and they made it to Final Four with a lot of Baton Rouge kids. The main reason that was because of the time with Collis Temple. He was the one that was feeding all those players.
Sports Academy.
Yeah, right. And so now that's not there to the level it was. And so you're seeing he's going wherever he's got to go to get kids. And really, you're right. I mean, at the national level, because let's be honest, high school basketball in the Northeast is much bigger than it is in the South, although high school football down here is much bigger. So the talent base is greater, and you really have to be able to recruit nationally if you want to compete on that national level. Now, you can pluck some talented kids out of Louisiana, but there's not enough to be able to field a team. And so, obviously, Wade realized that and has done that, and it's paid off this year because they got a good team and they have a chance to make a real run. You know?
And it's so timely and appropriate that you bring up Collis Temple, the Collis Temple Jr., and some of those Sports Academy teams because it yielded what became the 06 National Championship team. It was his son, right? Not only CT3, but especially Garrett Temple, who's still in the league.
Right.
The real super crop, the latest super crop of kids that were on those Sports Academy teams, Wade Sims, who you mentioned, tragically lost. Skylar Mays, who's playing big-time basketball for LSU right now. And then Cajun fans, don't forget Jalen Johnson. He started his prep ball at U-High, went to St. Louis, was a Billiken, and now he's sitting out here. He's going to play for Bob Marlin next year here at UL. So, again, that was a superb class of the Sports Academy. They all played at U-High, and now they're LSU level, they're UL level, but they're not big baby. They're not –
They're
just not the same level. So
that was a tremendous group of talent they had. Tyrus Thomas, all from that Baton Rouge area, all grew up there, played prep ball, and all stuck
together.
And
even Daryl Mitchell from St. Martin.
Yeah, Daryl Mitchell, right. Now, there was and it's not that there's not talent here, as you said. It's just that you don't have the masses of talent that you do in football. And in the Northeast, you can pluck certain positions. We don't get a lot of great big men coming out of Louisiana basketball. That's why if you get one, like when we had Greg Monroe a few years ago, that was a huge deal because we don't get a lot of big men. We get some guards.
That's a great
support,
point.
But big men, and you want to compete at the national level, you got to have some big men. And so he goes up and gets Reed, who's from New York, big man. I mean, you got to have some big men and you got to have guards, and that's something that you just don't find much. Even if every year if you recruit the best big man at the prep level out of Louisiana, it's going to vary. Some years you may have you really have many 7-footers come out. You really do. I mean, and Monroe wasn't a 7-footer. He was 6'10".
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson came out of Chalmette. Weird recruitment. Tried to go pro. Ended up at Western Kentucky. Now he's with the Knicks. But other than that, the highest-rated big man to come out of Louisiana, it would have had to be Jarrell Martin. And he was about the number 14, 15 overall player in the country. And look, that's big time.
No, it's big for this area, right.
But that's not enough on its own. So we're going to hit our first break with Jeff here. When we return, his athlete man crush. It's Valentine's Day. A real man can answer that question. He will on the other side. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Why can't it be love? Clint, you're on a roll. We continue to get bumper songs with the word love in it. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. And quickly, before we reintroduce Jeff Horchick of KLF, why If you're just now getting in the vehicle, your news of the day in LSU baseball, Paul Maneri shaking up the rotation before the season even starts, and it's because, in his words, Eric Walker needs a little bit more time to recover. He needs a little bit more mound time in short doses before becoming the regular Sunday starter. And so here's how it's going to go. Zach Kess Friday night, Landon Marceau Saturday afternoon, and Jaden Hill, freshman righty from Arkansas, on Sunday. Tuesday, it'll be Cole Henry, freshman righty from Florence, Alabama. And then Wednesday, Eric Walker will make his season debut as a starter, although Maneri has said he could come out of the bullpen on Friday. So Hess, Marceau, Hill, Henry, Walker, and that's the exact same five-man rotation that Paul Maneri is going to use in week two. Then he'll reevaluate. All right, now back to Jeff Horchek, and you're not getting off the hook. Our sink or swim question of the day, in honor of Valentine's Day, who is your biggest athlete man crush?
Okay, I had a lot of athlete man crushes as a kid, typical American kid, big sports fan, loved watching the stars. But my ultimate man crush as a kid was Bo Jackson, man. I got a chance to meet him as a kid, and, of course, in his heyday, he was Bo knew everything, you know. He was a tremendous athlete. I think he was rated as the top athlete in the last 100 years in our country, and huge Bo fan, still am. Anytime something Bo-related's on, I want to see it. And, yeah, so I was a huge Bo Jackson fan. Had a jersey. Went all out, man. Loved Bo. Wished his career would have been a little longer. The hip injury killed me.
What was your circumstance that you had to meet him?
Well, when I was a kid, we lived in Memphis, Tennessee for 3 years. And, of course, he ended up signing with the Royals, and he came up through the minor leagues there in Memphis with the Chicks. And he played briefly with the Chicks. I believe he was there for maybe half a season, then got jumped up to Triple-A, and then, boom, he was with the Royals. But the first game that he played with the Chicks was his first professional game. My dad takes me, and he has to hold me up because, you know, the stands were packed. Tim McCarver Stadium. And he comes out of the dugout, gets a standing ovation, and gets nervous and goes back in the dugout, gets a sip of water, comes back out, gets a base hit, then gets picked off of first. And the crowd goes nuts, and I'll never forget it. And, yeah, so then I followed him from there on because he was in the Royals system and went on to be an all-star with Kansas City and the Raiders. And just always a huge Bo fan. I mean, just – and so the story is, let me tell you the story when I met him.
Yeah.
Okay, so he comes back to Tim McCarver because the Royals would play an exhibition game every year with the Cardinals there. So he's up at the big leagues, Bo knows, and I was a small kid growing up, still not a big guy, but really tiny. So before the game, I see him come out of the dugout, and I'm not the dugout, the locker room, and I'm in the little area between where they had to walk from the locker room to the actual dugout. And I see Bo, and I'm like, Bo, can you sign this ball? And he's like, hey, man, I got to go out in the field. But he's like, come back here after the game, and I'll sign it, right? So I was like, all right. So I go back to my seat. We watch the game. And I told my dad, I'm like, I got to go back there because Bo's going to sign a ball. He's like, that's fine. So I go down there, and there's like 100 kids lined up waiting because somehow they heard he was going to come through there. So I got down on my knees and went through the kids' legs, got to the front of the line. And he recognized me and said, all right, this is where the line starts, signed the ball, and boom, went from there. So it was a cool story. And,
nice.
But, you know, I was eye to thigh with Bo Jackson. Literally, his thighs were at my eye level, and the size of that dude, I mean, just an impressive guy. Now, of course, I was a lot smaller at the time, but you talk about a specimen, dude. And everybody who knows sports knows that Bo is one of the greatest athletes ever. He was a freak athlete, but he was really good with kids at that time. Even when he was in his prime, he was always – very kind to kids and good, and he was a superstar. I mean, he had commercials everywhere, and I'll never forget that. As a young kid, you know, you're very impressionable and always appreciate. I still got the baseball, too, Ben.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's the best part. That and getting to the front of the line.
Awesome.
I love that. You can call him in if you want, 706-0111. We've gotten a text into the program. Will says, for me, if I'm going to LSU, guys, it's Odell, but just league-wide, Christian McCaffrey, he's ridiculous. So,
wow,
a couple of ridiculous athletes that are listed there. And then on Facebook, perhaps this was misunderstood, or maybe I just don't understand my own question. Jamie has told us that it's Mia Hamm.
Oh, Mia.
So,
tremendous athlete.
Tremendous. There might be something else going on with the crush there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Might be a little different level there.
Nomar. You have to deal with Nomar.
That's true. You got to go through Nomar.
Nomar.
And so I offered up.
How about you? Yeah.
Yeah, I offered up Alvin Kamara because he blows my mind. I've never seen a Saint that versatile, that talented. Clint said Drew Brees, so we both kind of went that direction. But if I went outside of our area teams and franchises, I went Russell Westbrook. Huge fan, man.
Yeah.
Huge fan. And you ever show up to Orange Theory, I'm probably going to be there working out in a Russell Westbrook t-shirt jersey. It's just something I do.
Hey.
The guy.
Tremendous talent.
is amazing. He's got an ability to block out everything, and I don't just mean on the court. His quote even yesterday sums him up, for me, to a T.
Yeah.
He said, and I'll paraphrase, I've got an incredible gift that I don't give a bleep. And I believe him. Every bit of his career shows, I go all out. I don't care what you think. I admire that in athletes.
No, I mean, I think, you know, to be an elite-level athlete, you have to have that mentality. And he has a killer instinct, too, by the way, which has been something that's been brought up with another guy who, you know, was brought up by another guy today. That's another topic for discussion.
A certain brow? Anthony Davis?
And another guy that, you know, in basketball specifically, and Russell has that. You know, he will just go in there and he'll just rip you apart. And, no, he's a tremendous talent. And it would have been cool to see he and Durant stay together because – they could have been really special, but it didn't happen.
And some guy named James Harden.
And James Harden, true. If those three would have stayed together, you know, maybe Oklahoma City could have legitimately contended for an NBA title with those three guys. I don't see why they couldn't have. But, you know.
Golden State, as we know them now, probably wouldn't be exactly the same.
That's true, too. No. And
they couldn't be because Kevin would be in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So, I know it's dreaming, but, yeah, Russell is a tremendous talent. And, you know, he's another guy that he plays in a small market. If he played in New York or Chicago or L.A., he would be 10 times bigger. But because he's in Oklahoma City, he's not. But he's still a tremendous talent. And it makes you wonder if he will stay there or he will test the free agent market at some point, you know, because he is a dynamite talent. And you know that some of the big market teams would love to get their hands on him.
He's from L.A., went to UCLA.
Right.
So that was always the speculation. All right, before we hit this break, I had a submission before the show even began. I farmed out the question, and I got Jason Duffner, pro golfer. Has one major, I believe, under his belt. More than that, the guy said, dude, to look like that and have the wife that he does, he's so far above his station.
Right.
So man crush in the sense that you want to be Jason Duffner.
Well, you know, if that's the case, then maybe I want to be Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Rings, supermodel wife, you know. You know, obviously, he has a lot of pressure on him. There's controversy that comes along, too. But, you know, he's 40, 41 still, is lighting it up. Supermodel looks, you know, Tom Brady seems like he has a pretty good life, so I think Tom Brady would be a good guy to want to be. You know?
Duke, you kiss his owner on the lips after winning a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Everyone just moves along.
You're confident if you could do that. That's for darn
just
sure.
Just move it right along. Jeff, this has been fun as always. Okay, we're getting Trooper next Thursday.
Okay, I keep forgetting. Just text me and remind me. But, yeah, Trooper next. And, by the way, he's a huge sports fan, by the way.
I love it.
And he made his picks this year for Saints games. We'll talk about that. Yeah, I'll bring him next week.
I like that. We're going to get him to pick some stuff here. Thanks again, brother.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, we got to hit a break. We're coming right back. Throwing a little shade, taking your questions. You're listening to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports
on 103.7 The Game.
The man has a theme going, and he's sticking to it. Nothing wrong with it. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. All right, I'll let you play Babe Ruth. Call your shot there.
That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers with their cover of Love Roller Coaster. How can I drop that one on you on this Valentine's Day?
See, all right, here's the real knowledge that you might have to hit me with, and I'll claim some ignorance. Who was the original there? Because I did recognize that as being the Chili Peppers. Who was the originator of Love Roller Coaster?
That was, let me pull this up, I believe that was, the Ohio Players. The Ohio Players.
You know what? Hit the little button. If you got to go there, it's like trivia. It really didn't happen. So, in fairness, I didn't know it either. But I appreciate the honesty, CD.
Yeah, I guess sometimes you got to look it up. Because it was either that or the OJs in my mind.
That guy or that girl who's looking things up during not only trivia, have you ever played a board game? You know, you get into the Trivia Pursuit. And you got somebody who you know is hitting the phone under the table. Oh, I got a text from my mom. Well, BS. There's no chance that's what's actually happening here. So sometimes you just got to put the phones away, but not while doing a live radio show. If you got your phone out, you want to participate, we got some time. 706-0111. And our last guest, Jeff Horchek, he had a lot of parting gifts. He brought to my attention, because I hadn't really seen it yet, that whole bizarre storyline with Adam Silver. And that the NFL owners reportedly requested that he be reached out to gauge his interest of coming over from being the NBA commissioner to the NFL commissioner. Silver said he hasn't given any thought to it. That is incredibly interesting. But one of the other parting gifts that we got from Jeff Hornacek, he alluded to it at the end of that last interview when we were discussing players that maybe don't have the killer instinct. And Scottie Pippen apparently brought that conversation back into vogue today. Clueless of what I'm talking about? I'll explain it momentarily. But first, your daily reminder, it's a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, the standing seam metal awnings, and the retractable shades and screens. And know that you can trust their management top down. It starts with Mark to help you create a vision, and then they'll fulfill it. And then how refreshing in 2019 that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game, and they can do it before LSU makes a run to Omaha, before the Cajuns make a run to and through regional play, and before the Astros go calling back on the World Series. If that sounds like something you're interested in, I highly encourage a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Leave it to one of the all-time Robins to say that LeBron isn't a Batman. Scottie Pippen, within the last 24 hours, asked his opinion about LeBron. Is anything missing? His DNA, his makeup, his career? And more or less, Scottie Pippen offered up that LeBron doesn't have the same type of genetic competitive disorder. That's what I choose to call it, and I've said it on this show many a times. He doesn't have that same type of genetic competitive disorder that that Kobe had and that Michael Jordan had. And that's a little bit of what Jeff Hornacek and I were speaking of with Russell Westbrook. He does have that cutthroat mentality. Anthony Davis clearly does not. LeBron might fall somewhere in the middle of those two, but I would think closer on the spectrum to where Russell Westbrook is. LeBron is as competitive as all get out, but I do think growing up in the AAU age, kind of like Russ, LeBron's got some need to be liked in him. Russ doesn't need to be liked. That's the other difference there, but LeBron definitely needs to be liked. Now, is it LeBron's fault that he has played on teams that didn't have the type of talent that MJ's did? And I'm talking about even 80s MJ teams. You know, the ones that didn't ever win playoff series. They went to the playoffs just about every year, especially in the late 80s, but they never could win a series. Then they couldn't get over the hump of the Detroit Pistons. Well, LeBron's Cleveland teams usually did better than that. Even when they were terrible, he could bring that team to the conference semis, the conference finals, and even when you think about the 07 group that lost to the Spurs all the way to the NBA finals. So I think that this is a little fair, a little foul from Scottie Pippen. But the real shade for me today actually is going to be directed at Scottie. He's one of the greatest 50 players of all time, no question, Scottie Pippen. But you don't win a championship with Scottie Pippen as your best player. He is maybe the all-time Robin. And for him to accuse LeBron of not being an alpha male Batman, he doesn't have that genetic competitive disorder, I think that's a little bit misleading from Scottie Pippen and more than a little ironic.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Agree? Disagree? We got time for you. 20 minutes to go in this hour, and then at 6 o'clock, Dan McDonald coming aboard to talk Cajuns baseball, a top 25 team coming to the Teague in the Texas Longhorns. How does he break down the matchup? How does he see the return of Gunnar Leger? And what else stands out to him that's already in place and what might be missing for what is Tony Robichaud's 25th team here in Lafayette? So Dan McDonald will be with us at 6 o'clock, and you're going to hear from Greg Heyer, LSU basketball assistant, at 6:30. So all that still coming your way. Right now, time for the final break in this hour. We'll be right back in. Happy to take your phone call. 706-0111. 1-1. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports taking you home on this Thursday, Valentine's Day, on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Not even really stretching, just comfortably, CD. That one's in the wheelhouse. That's the kind of thing that might actually play as we come back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And it also steals a cue from a recent hit movie. What do we got there?
Of course, we got Queen, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, kind of later in the discography of Queen.
Now you're starting to sound like the guy who just is an absolute almanac on 106.3 Radio Lafayette. I like that guy.
I like that guy, too. I think he's on from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I think he sounds kind of similar to me.
Just a shameless plug. We love it. 706-0111 if you want to jump in. But having some fun today with, a question on this Valentine's Day. Who's your biggest athlete man crush? We've also explored the space on one of the wildest it's not even really a rumor. I mean, it's out there, and it's acknowledged that NFL owners basically have asked and made sure that there was connection with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about his potential interest in switching sides and coming over to the NFL and taking over for Roger Goodell. So I don't believe anybody is going to argue that there's something left to be desired with the job that Roger Goodell's doing. In fact, there's probably a lot stronger verbiage you can use there. Many of you in South Louisiana would. I get it. So to think that he needs to be replaced, you're not going to catch any argument. But the idea that you could go outside of the football family to a complete unknown, it's interesting to me. Because, again, this is the analogy that I gave Jeff Horchek. You hear all the time that, hey, if you could sell ice to an Eskimo, then you could sell any product, right? If you can sell, you can sell. I just don't know that type of transitive property works. I don't know if that type of transitive relationship exists when it comes to not only managing a sport professionally in the United States, but then also making it profitable, juggling everything for owners. I don't know that it works quite the same way. And again, the NFL certainly isn't lagging behind the NBA when it comes to TV deals and contracts. It's the NFL that's probably doing a better job currently of getting into other countries, right? With the regular London games, with Mexico City ball games. I know they didn't play there this year because the Stadium Azteca couldn't get its stuff together and it wasn't draining. But still, there is a lot that somebody could come in and help the NFL with. I think most of it, frankly, is an image thing and doing a better job of uniting organizations with their owners, right? And when I say organizations, it's not just the players. It's also the coaches. It's everybody. So that, to me, one of the weirdest storylines in a long, long time. We got time for you to get in on that if you'd like. 706-0111. And because I know we won't have a lot of time left in the 6 o'clock hour to touch on LSU baseball, your news there, Paul Maneri has shifted the way that LSU will approach these first 2 weeks in terms of starting pitching. And even to an extent, one guy in particular who's going to come in for relief maybe this Friday. Here's the rundown. Maneri said early this afternoon that Friday through Sunday during this military appreciation weekend at the box will be Zach Hess, Landon Marceau, and Jaden Hill. And so you'll notice immediately that Eric Walker is out of that spot. You'll hear about him momentarily. Tuesday, LSU hosting Southeastern at the box. Cole Henry's going to get the start. Wednesday, it'll be Eric Walker. And Maneri mentioned earlier today that Hess and Walker are a bit behind. They rested a bunch. He doesn't want to stretch them, and he'd also rather not tax his bullpen. So for the next 2 weeks, that's how Maneri's going to roll. They're both five-week schedules. He'll go this way and then reevaluate. But it's Hess, Marceau, Hill, Henry, Walker. The three guys in the middle there, all freshman righties. It's about to be an exciting year, I think, of LSU baseball in particular. Some of the new blood on the mound. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, I know you want to talk a little Adam Silver. It's good to hear from you. What you got?
Nothing much, Ben. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Just calling to ask, as far as Adam Silver, I don't have anything against him. I really don't not into basketball that much to know what's going on. But, I mean, think about when he first got in the lead. I mean, the deal with the Clippers on, that was easy to do. I mean, and a lot of people credit him for that was easy to do. Just kick the guy the lead, make him sell a team, whatever. That was pretty easy, you know. And you're looking at Goodell, what he deals with the kneeling, you know, and that was kind of thrown right at him, you know. And let's say if it was in happened in basketball, well, all the rules is in place already for the guys not to disrespect the flag, anything like that. So you think maybe we're giving Adam Silver a little bit too much credit for what he's doing the NBA, anything like that, sir?
I think that is a very, very valid viewpoint because I see the Donald Sterling thing the same way that you do. I think that was a fairly easy solution. Now, it took some cojones to actually follow through and do it. Not all the owners in professional sports would have done it, but I agree. He connected some fairly obvious dots. And when he did that, I think he sent a message to his league that the players have a voice. And so even though it was easy to do, it worked very well in his favor. He followed that up. Ron, you'll recall after all the NFL issues with not standing for the anthem, taking a knee, this, that, and the other, they were very clear that they wanted their players and their coaches to have a voice. So, again, in this modern world we live in, I think somehow that gives him credit points. But to your points, I think maybe too much credit. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel about it. I mean, I don't have anything against him or anything like that, but – you know, if you sit back and you kind of get a pause of the people, you just kind of go where they want. And it's like, okay, maybe we get a little bit too much credit. Maybe we got enough sense to not go against certain things that's just kind of obvious, you know. So just a comment, huh?
No, man, it's a worthy one. Thank you, Ron.
All right, thank you.
How much have you created versus how much have you helped to keep the peace? Probably a fair assessment, right? And that's... I don't think there is much that Adam Silver has created. I don't know how much he's needed to create or modify or amend. Probably the biggest line item for the NBA is the one-and-done issue. And look, here is the plain truth about that. The NBA is getting exactly what it wants right now. If it's causing the college product to suffer, and absolutely it is, there's no argument there. Frankly, they could probably give a damn. Why would they care? They don't want their scouts in high school gyms for a number of reasons. It leads to more of the feeling of impropriety, but even more than that, the bigger reason is that it's hard to evaluate that talent. And how many five stars do I have to tell you that ended up on campuses at LSU and everywhere else, football, basketball, or otherwise, that didn't turn out to be anything that they were billed to be? How many instances of that are there? Well, look, in hindsight, it's easy for us to say they were playing against 1A talent. Hey, they were playing in Class B, Class C. Of course, they were dominating. And it's hard to see sometimes how that does or doesn't translate into the NBA. So when you're allowed to go to the show right out of prep and right out of high school, it taxes more of their evaluation staff. And the NBA's guys were beginning to look a lot more foolish with that year after year. You had too many stories of guys that were taken out of high school and 5 or 6 years later, they were just penniless. Of course, then again, there's guys who go to college and have ended up that way. Antoine Walker being an example. Glad to see he's turning it around. You can see him on the SEC Network now, but, you know, you can be educated, you cannot be educated, and find a way to lose money. But the odds of you keeping it are better if you are educated. I understand that. Point being, I'll land my plane. Adam Silver, to Ron's point, hasn't had to deal with some of the earth-shattering issues by comparison that Roger Goodell has. He hasn't had in the NBA some of the domestic violence, CTE, some of the kneeling, why don't we just call it that, issues that have in some ways plagued the NFL. And then, of course, most recently, there's the whole thing where nobody knows that they could trust the NFL. Hell, the NBA had Tim Donaghy, who literally was found to have been rigging games, and they survived that and got through it. So, yeah, sometimes maybe a little bit too much of a pass for Adam Silver. Very fair, Ron. Very fair indeed. All right, we are 2 hours in. We got one more to go. When we return, Dan McDonald. Talk about a guy who stays busy, wears a lot of hats when it comes to local athletics. Our main angle with him, college baseball. The Raging Cajuns. They start their season 24 hours and 33 minutes from right now. So what does he expect? Gunnar Leje coming back. What are some of the things they've done to get him ready again? That and more on the other side. So Dan McDonald at 6 o'clock. You'll hear from LSU basketball assistant Greg Heyer. Had a great interview yesterday at 4. 6 o'clock crowd. We'll get that today circa about 6:30. Plus, we'll be taking more of your phone calls, taking you home on this Thursday, Valentine's Day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live at the Tap Room River Ranch, where it's starting to heat up, and we're glad we're here with 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Sprinting out of the tunnel. This is hour 3 of 3. I'm Ben Love, and you're listening to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Live, as always, on Thursdays from the Tap Room River Ranch. The famous Clint D joining me from inside the 237 Roof Studios. And hopefully, momentarily, completing our three-man weave, completing, since it's baseball season, I guess officially now, our double play. We're hoping to have Dan McDonald here momentarily. Clint will let me know, and if I get the thumbs up, we'll take you right to a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer and get a Raging Cajun baseball preview. At least that's the way that we intend to start our number three. So again, as soon as Clint lets me know, I'll let you know. But here's one thing that we all know now. On the LSU side, Tigers start about 25 hours from right now. ULM in town to begin Military Appreciation Weekend at the Box. And Paul Maneri announced a bit of a shakeup on his rotation. And he's got to do it because he feels that Eric Walker isn't quite mound ready yet. And so Zach Hess is still going to start tomorrow night. It'll still be Landon Marceau, the freshman righty from Destrehan on Saturday. And then Sunday, freshman righty Jaden Hill from Ashdown, Arkansas, will step into the shoes that Eric Walker was expected to occupy as that third weekend starter. And so with that shakeup, it'll affect the way the midweek goes as well. Tuesday, another freshman righty. It'll be Cole Henry from Florence, Alabama. And Wednesday, that's where Eric Walker is going to slot in. According to Maneri earlier today, Walker could well come out of the bullpen, maybe even throw three innings on Friday in relief of Hess, but he is going to start Wednesday at Northwestern, a game against the Demons where Maneri wouldn't mind having a little experience as well. Some of your other news and notes there. Maneri says Hess and Walker a bit behind after resting and getting the arms right in this offseason. He doesn't want to stretch them, doesn't want to tax his bullpen, and he believes that Marceau on Saturday, Hill on Sunday can go just a little bit longer, and so his expected pitch count for them closer to 80 to 90 pitches, whereas for Hess on Friday and maybe even Walker in relief on Friday, it's more like three innings apiece. Now, Maneri did say that Jaden Hill has earned this opportunity, that he was always going to start one of the opening five games that LSU had, but now he's just moved up into that Sunday spot for the first 2 weeks. So that order I just gave you, Hess, Marceau, Hill on the weekend, Henry and Walker in the midweek, they'll go with that exact cadence for two straight weeks, and then Maneri's going to reevaluate And then hopefully at that point, for LSU fans, Hess and Walker are a little more seasoned and a little more ready to throw upwards of 75-plus pitches. The other thing we got on the LSU baseball front today, Maneri gave his Friday lineup. So you can go ahead and book this right now. Here's your 1-9. Now we'll take them in thirds. Smith, Broussard, Duplantis. A lot of surprise, at least for our guy Hunt Palmer, when he joins the 4 o'clock hour, that Brant Broussard is going to be batting in the two-hole. Hunt expected that, along with Hal Hughes, he would occupy the 8-9 spots. But Maneri wanted to break things up a little bit, opting to go with Duplantis, maybe a little more proven run producer in the three-hole rather than lead off Antoine. And so you have Smith, Broussard, Duplantis, 1-3. Daniel Cabrera will be in the four slot, batting cleanup. It'll be Watson and then Garcia, 4-5-6. So Saul Garza possibly not having the type of preseason that was expected. Because earlier, several weeks ago, Maneri said, yeah, we like him a lot in the three spot, maybe helping to be a bit of a cover for Cabrera. Garza, tomorrow night, expected to bat six. And then finally, 7-8-9 is going to be Bianco, Mathis, and Hughes. And so some other news there, at least on opening night, it'll be Drew Bianco, son of former LSU assistant, current Ole Miss head coach Mike Bianco. He'll be the first freshman to get some burn out at first base. But I would expect not only this weekend, but for the first few months of this season, I think they're going to have a bit of a rotating door there, trying to figure out exactly who's going to be the regular at first base. And so right now, I do believe, and CD's given me the thumbs down emoji, so no good for this segment. Swing and a miss on Dan McDonald. I tell you what we will do. We'll see if we can't get him at 6:15. One thing I promise you is that at 6:30, you're going to hear from LSU basketball assistant Greg Heyer. The Tigers, pun intended, climbing higher and higher in the rankings. With the win over Kentucky, I think there's a pretty good chance that they've erased a mistake or two that they may make down the stretch of this regular season. I'll explain more of that at 6:30. But again, LSU baseball, some switcheroo that's going on right now with the rotation, doing some things with that everyday lineup, at least early, that weren't expected by the experts, like our guy Hunt Palmer. If you missed that, highly recommend it. Get it to On Demand, 1037thegame.com, and via the free 1037 The Game mobile app. We will talk some Cajuns baseball at some point, hopefully with Dan McDonald, and we'll get you closer to 7 o'clock. We do have a programming reminder for you. Tomorrow, I'm going to be out at Northside High School. I had the pleasure earlier this academic calendar year, it was back in October, I was going to call a Karen Crow Northside game. And so I did my show from the press box in the football stadium. Tomorrow, getting into the gym. Been there before plenty of times to watch games. Excited to broadcast for the first time from the Northside High basketball gym. And so 4 to 6:30, I'll have B2BS. At 6:30, we'll send you to the box. It'll be LSU-ULM, Tigers season opener for baseball in 2019. And then the basketball game that I'll be at Northside for, the Westgate Tigers at the Northside Vikings. We'll have that about 7:15. We're expected for tip-off, 7 o'clock the pregame show on our sister station. That's the Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM here in the Hub City in Lafayette, and it'll be 104.1 FM in Oak Grove, Lake Charles. Live radio, you can't exactly plan for it, but we'll see if we could call a little bit of an audible. We'll see if we can't get Dan McDonald on the other side here. I would like to talk some Cajuns baseball and round out what's been a tremendous trifecta this week. Jace Conrad was with us on Monday, former UL All-American. Yesterday, assistant coach Daniel Freeman hopped aboard the show. Hopefully, Dan McDonald when we return. So stick and stay. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on the way to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping. happen and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Now we're in a range where it's probably not B2BS usual material. Clinton will explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. All right, who you got? Explain yourself.
I got some Prince, Ben. I think this is from his original album called I Want to Be Your Lover, the title of the song, obviously.
I like it. It's a derivative of the word love. You found a noun usage there. We're going for all songs with the word love in it and a little Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover. How about a trade that would have been, well, just about the greatest thing of all time for Astros fans, at least according to a report earlier today from our good friend Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle. And this is interesting. He tweeted out earlier this morning, Astros GM Jeff Luhnow confirmed today that the Stros had an agreement in principle to trade for Bryce Harper at last season's trade deadline. Clint, I'm going to need you to opine a little bit with me here. There's not a doubt in my mind that the Astros make it past the Red Sox and win the World Series if that happens. They were offensively challenged toward the end. They had arms to go. If they would have added, of course, no telling what they might have had to give up for that, probably just future draft picks and future assets from the minor league system. But if Bryce Harper would have been the equivalent to the late season addition that Justin Verlander was the year prior when they did win the World Series, how much different would that have made last year?
I'd have to agree with you. I think you'd probably wind up winning the World Series because of the fact that's probably one of the best bats in the league combined with some of the other strong bats that you have. Mind you, Altuve wasn't necessarily the same guy at that point of the season, so this could have been huge for the bats of the Houston Astros down the stretch. You can only imagine how much better they could have been.
Now, would it have given the Stros in any way, shape, or form a leg up to re-sign Harper in the offseason, as we know that he was going into it as a free agent? I don't necessarily know that I believe that part of it. And as we look up now, Harper, unsigned. Manny Machado, unsigned. And Major League Baseball is more than just a little bit of a mess. In fact, kind of along those lines, there was a really good tweet. And I first saw this earlier in the week. In fact, it came Monday from, ironically enough, Justin Verlander. I'll give you the exact tweet. 100 or so free agents left unsigned. System is broken. They blame rebuilding, but that's BS. You're telling me you couldn't sign Bryce or Manny for 10 years and go from there? Seems like a good place to start a rebuild to me. 26 to 36 is a great performance window, too. And he's alluding to the fact that Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, both 26 years old, and, yeah, their window to 36 stands the chance to be pretty outstanding. Now, I think I know what some of the cautionary tale is there. I think I do. And I believe it's Alex Rodriguez and what was, at the time, just a landmark deal, Texas Rangers. 10 years, $250 million, and since then, it's been my observation that some of these front offices are doing everything they can to stray away from that. But here we are, Valentine's Day, pitchers, catchers reporting today, tomorrow, all around the league, and you do have two of the game's top, I don't know, four, five, six offensive players that currently aren't on a roster. And I'll tell you this, I know plenty of people like me that are just hog wild about fantasy baseball, and they're already talking, well, where should I take these guys? Look, if it's the caliber of Machado or Harper, it's not going to make much of a difference if they sign with sort of a contender or an absolute contender. You're just going to want them on your team. They're that good. Don't think twice about it. But it is very, very odd. With first pitch of Major League Baseball about 5 weeks away, 5.5 weeks away, something like that. Last week in March, I believe it's crept up to. It's not April 1 anymore. But we're that close to Major League Baseball, and you've got this many, not just free agents, but marquee free agents that they seem to be untouchable right now. Seem to be nuclear. So interesting, that note that I wanted to pass along from Chandler Rome. And we've had Chandler on in the last couple of weeks. We'll continue to have him, Brian McTaggart, Allison Footer, for the duration of the Astros baseball season. But it's just a weird thing to me. I mean, coming into pitchers and catchers reporting and really what should be a glorious time of year, a reminder that the NFL, it doesn't corner the market on all the problems that there are in Major League sports in this country. Major League Baseball having an awfully hard time getting some of these free agents to a landing destination. Long-term, short-term, doesn't matter. Can't get them anywhere right now, just about anyhow. And unfortunately for us, and then especially YP, you people out there in listener land, we haven't been able to get a hold of Dan McDonald. So that ship, at least for today, will sail, but we'll see if we can't get him before too long. But CD, we did carve out time to talk Cajuns baseball, and darn it, that's what we're going to do. Your reflection on the news of yesterday. Today's been more about LSU's pitching rotation. Yesterday was about UL's. And we know Gunnar Leger is going to start Friday nights. He'll be in that role tomorrow and throughout this season. We also know that the first go at Saturday will belong to Brandon Young. 6'6", 210 pounds, a junior righty. He's from the state of Texas. Daniel Freeman told us that he had all kinds of offers coming out of high school. Once he had to relocate to Howard College on the JUCO level, they weren't even sure, UL, that he was going to make it to college. They thought there was a chance he went straight to the NBA from Howard College. So now we know that it'll be Brandon Young on Saturday, and then mum's the word TBA for a Sunday starter. But what do you make right now out of the way that Tony Robichaux is handling this weekend and the way you like to see him handle it going forward as far as the starting weekend rotation, then even that fourth guy, Clint, because we know how important the midweek starter is.
Exactly. It's crucially important for the Cajuns when it comes to that fourth starter. And I think he's handling it the right way because you don't want to give too much weight. And you're also trying to figure out what's going on and who's going to be the guy that's going to be your pitcher du jour on Sunday. Because I think Brandon Young's a guy that you want to see do what he does. And we talk about Dalton Horton. I think we've talked about him for months, about him and the former TCU player. Is he going to play? Is he be more of a starter? Or is he going to wind up being kind of a bridge guy in this early part of the season? I think Robichaux mentioned it during media day recently that he didn't want to kind of settle in on a rotation until once they get closer to conference play. So there's going to be a lot of moving pieces with that weekend rotation and probably the fourth starter as well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on that Sunday one, at least for this week. I mean, give him a couple more weeks to kind of figure it out, but I would not mind it once the calendar flips over to March, everything starts being solidified.
You know, my gut tells me they wouldn't mind that Sunday starter being Jack Burke when he gets the Sun Belt Conference play, but I don't know if you heard some of Daniel Freeman's words yesterday the same way I did. Sounds like they're not sure the young man is completely ready yet, and we know that he suffered some arm injuries and fatigue during the stretch of last season, so I get the sense that's a guy they'd like to turn to, but they're not ready to pull the trigger there yet.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at as well here. I think he'd probably wind up being, like I talked about, being more of a bridge guy. He's going to be a guy that you wind up using more so as that or potentially a closer, because I think that'd be the best-case scenario for him and his road to recovery.
Another thing that we took away from our conversation with Daniel Freeman yesterday, seems like he loves Austin Bradford in the role of closer, and so there would seemingly be a number of options to replace the combination of Dylan Moore, Logan Stolke. I guess some of your takeaways from what you know throughout his career from Austin Bradford, CD.
Austin Bradford, that's an interesting name to say the least. I know a little bit about him, but it's not exactly a household name that I'm thinking about. But he's got some pretty big shoes to fill. He's going to wind up replacing a guy like Demo or even Logan Stolke, who had his bright moments. Of course, Dylan Moore is just a phenomenal, one of the best closers the Cajuns have ever had. I definitely think Bradford can be a solid one. Let's see what he can do. But the biggest thing is obviously the offense, because if you have a closer and he winds up not necessarily being that great, you just hope he has an offense that can bail him out.
And just how confident are you that this is going to be a more consistently offensive potent version of the UL Raging Cajuns, because I'll tell you this. I've talked to Coach Freeman on the air and off. You talked to Jace Conrad, and they say similar things. This team, the offensive players, the everyday field players, they just look bigger. They get off the bus, and they look bigger. And they've got a chance to be more powerful. And we're going to score more runs. I will tell you, from the Cajuns fans that I had these conversations with, again, off of the air, they all say very similar things. I'll believe it when I see it. And I think since Matt Deggs went to Sam Houston, there's been such a feeling that, boy, this is going to be a club where, for the most part, you got to find ways to get creative and win 2-1, 3-1, 4-2 type games. How about you, CD? Do you have confidence that this will be a more consistently offensive potent team?
I have a little bit more confidence than you've been, and I think it's largely because of the fact that we have some younger guys in there that have started to mature. Obviously, Hayden Cantrell is a guy that we want to see kind of hit for average, be more consistent. There's a lot more guys out there. This entire lineup, it's got some familiar faces, of course. We bring up Hayden Cantrell. Handsome Monica could be back in the lineup on some days. So I think there's a good chance you wind up having some guys that can hit for average and be consistent at the plate, and that can wind up helping out the Cajuns. I don't think we're going to wind up seeing them unleashing the boomstick on every single at-bat, but I definitely think they can wind up getting some things going to wind up at least having a little more cushion than they might have had in past seasons.
And for what it's worth, as we're about to hit the halfway point of the 6 o'clock hour, Pelicans tonight switching gears. They're at home. They're going to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the starting five was just announced by Alvin Gentry. Credit goes here to our friend Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, and the Times-Picayune. Pels are going to go really big in this one. It'll be Julius Randle, Anthony Davis, Kenrick Williams, the rookie, starting to make a name for himself as a very big front court, along with Darius Miller and Drew Holiday in the backcourt. So the Pels going real big in this one. Let's hope they don't get too big on the scoreboard. Again, lose. That's the name of the game. Hopefully it doesn't stay too embarrassing when it comes to AD and some of the quotes we had to hear afterward. But right now, it's I think it's in the best interest of everybody to get this thing done. Get to the end of the season, get the highest draft pick, and then get rid of AD. And then we'll all get the reset just a little bit. Hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch, and yeah, Valentine's Day, it's a great place. In fact, seeing a lovely couple walking in right now. Be a great place to come in, have a drink before those dinner plans. Or maybe you're a single, looking for a great time, place to mingle tonight. I would recommend the Tap Room. Finally, and this is best case scenario, if your lady prefers a good drink and a good time instead of an overpriced meal, and by the way, congrats to you, you might just enjoy yourself tonight at the Tap Room River Ranch. Among other reasons, they've got live music, 8 until 11, and no cover charge. Eric Gautreau laying down the sound. I'm done at 7. He starts at 8. The fun stays right here at the Tap Room River Ranch. We'll be right back. Going to let you hear from LSU basketball assistant Greg Heyer on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
There it is. There it is, Clint. Some of these I expected. Others, like this one, I did not, but I'm digging it. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. A song that everyone should know, and of course that's Higher Love by Steve Winwood. But as Clint will darn well know, and I will attest to, a song probably at least mildly repopularized by Dennis Reynolds in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, indeed. It definitely is reminiscent of a certain man wearing a bumblebee outfit and leading a spin class.
Very well remembered and put. And you even hit me with a little Jordy Holtberg special. Yes, indeed.
I can't thank you enough, buddy.
I appreciate that. And I can't thank Greg Heyer enough, LSU basketball assistant, a guy that I was told when they found a way to get him over from Wichita State 2 years ago when Wade first got to Baton Rouge. I was told this is big, that you might not realize just how big it is. And from a recruiting standpoint, it's going to be paramount. But even as a guy to help Wade on the sideline, preparing for a game and in-game, Greg Heyer is going to make a big difference. And he has. He joined us yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour for our 6 o'clock crowd. I want to let you hear some of that right now. First off, I asked what the message was to LSU's team leading into Tuesday's game at Rupp Arena. And then within that, what did they tell them at halftime down 8?
Well, going into the game, we had a lot of confidence because we felt like we had a good plan. Coach Wade did a tremendous job of getting our team prepared and you know, just with the message that, you know, we're as good. We're better than them. We can beat them. You know, that's kind of the message that we kept saying to our guys. Both teams are very similar. Going into the game, they beat you on the glass, they get to the free throw line, and they get out in transition. Well, that's what we do. We beat you on the glass, we get to the free throw line, and we beat you in transition. Well, the message at halftime was, they are beating us, fellas, at our own game. We can't let them beat us at our own game. This is what we do, and they're doing it to us. And we, you know, going into the game, we were preaching. Both were very similar. Who imposes their will in these areas is going to be the team that wins the game. And we came out in the second half, and we, you know, dominated those areas, and we were very fortunate to come back and make some big time plays down the stretch and win the game.
Now we got more that's coming your way from Greg Heyer, and I think his response here was especially telling because Emmett Williams was just an animal in the second half of that game. Played under 20 minutes but still found a way to make a humongous impact, not only on the scoreboard but I think in the morale of this team. And for me, the work on the offensive glass was especially noteworthy. But here, Heyer shares with you just some of the mentality that it took for Williams to get in the game, stay in the game, and then put LSU on top, ultimately, for good.
It's just, when you work hard and you trust the process and you every day you bring it, when you get your opportunity, you're going to make the most of it. And he made the most of it. I mean, he played 7 minutes the game before, and then he comes out and he stays locked in. He keeps working. He keeps believing and makes the most of his opportunity when, you know, we were in foul trouble. Now I've got foul trouble. And he came out there and he made some athletic, game-changing plays like, hey, we're winning this game. And, you know, the left-handed tip-in where he came out of nowhere was, I mean, it just shot confidence and energy throughout the whole team. That's the type of warrior Emmett is, and he continues to get better. But just we're just so appreciative of what a young man he is and how he stayed locked into his job and what he needed to do to help the team win. Because a lot of young players, when they don't play as many minutes, could have put their head down, but he didn't. He stayed, you know, practicing hard and waiting for his opportunity. When he got his opportunity, man, he made the most of it, and he was tremendous.
This next one for me, I really enjoyed because I love watching the way that coaches treat late game situations when they do have a timeout and their team's either tied or they're trailing. And depending on the situation, I think we've now seen Wade and his staff do different things. On Tuesday night, after Kentucky made both free throws to tie it, about 6 seconds and some change left, it was tied at 71. They did take a timeout. Then they had a set inbounds play. I'd bet any amount of money that they were hoping it would get to Trey Waters. It didn't. Eventually it found its way into the hands of Skylar Mays, and we saw it happen on his take down the left side of the floor. Ultimately results in a tip-in from Cavell Bigby Williams. But in different spots, they have done it differently. In the ridiculous OT comeback win at Mizzou, Wade did not call a timeout late. Allowed his guys to create on their own. They drew a foul, made free throws, and they got it to overtime. So here, I asked Greg Heyer about that idea of taking a timeout late, and he said for us, it really is always a feel thing.
Well, a lot of it kind of is just a feel thing, you know, to be honest. How many timeouts you got left? What's the score? What's the time? Who's, you know, who's on the court, you know, what are they in, you know, or just where's our rhythm? Do we have a rhythm? Do we not, you know, are we a little off? Do we need to call a timeout to settle things down? Because we trust our players, and Coach Wade does a tremendous job of allowing our players to make plays, and they make a ton of tremendous plays. And so there's a lot of times you just want to let them play at the end of the game, because a timeout means you got to come over, sit down, and the other team gets to set their defense, and the other coach gets to you know, maybe change their defense, and then you have to get the ball in, and then, you know, you have to execute. And there's a lot of things that go into the coming out of a timeout that maybe, you know, taking one and then also coming out of a timeout that maybe, you know, fans don't always realize everything that goes into it. It's easy, you know, to be a Monday morning quarterback after a game that you lose and you don't take a timeout to say, oh, you should have taken a timeout. But, you know, it's kind of a feel thing. But at the end of the day, we trust our players and you know, we believe that they're going to make the plays down the stretch to win the game. And, you know, Skylar Mays made a heck of a play to break to get the ball after they double-teamed Tremont. And then not to settle, to be going full speed in the crossover and then to come back between his legs and going full speed on the move and have a guy that's 6'6 on his hip and to get the ball up on the backboard to, you know, make the shot. He was trying to, but they come over, they all try to block the shot, and we get the tip in. Just unbelievable. It's just that's Skylar Mays. So that sums up Skylar Mays from the day we got here to who he is right now.
I have known Skylar Mays for a long, long time. I always thought he had a chance to be a good college basketball player. At times this year, he has been great, and he's showing the type of athleticism that wasn't always on display at U High. So the fact that he's worked on his body, his game, it's incredibly evident to me. All right, a couple more quick hitters. From LSU basketball assistant Greg Heyer, I asked him, be straight with me, did you feel confident during the review process? Did you think it was going your way? Just what were your emotions really like?
I knew the rule is you can't change the call because they didn't call goaltending on the floor. But, you know, you're on the road at Rupp Arena, and you know, emotionally you're going through like, oh, this is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. Maybe they're going to change this and call it goaltending. But at the end of the day, you know, obviously we knew they couldn't change that because it wasn't called on the floor. They were looking at the time. And then when they said it was good, it was just, you know, because a game like that to go into overtime, it would have been a difficult challenge going into overtime because it was those last 3 minutes of the game where there was just big play after big play from both teams. I mean, Kentucky made some unbelievable plays down the stretch and made their free throws to just put the game in that position as well, because we had kind of, you know, taken that 5-point lead, and then they made some really good plays.
And this last one gives you the best purview of what else you might be able to accomplish as they move forward. The context is this. Before coming to LSU, Heyer was a part of 6 straight NCAA tournament teams at Wichita State. One of them in 2013 with Fred Van Vliet and a pretty talented group, went all the way to the Final Four. So I asked him, given that experience, the look of those teams then, what does he think of this team now and their chances to really bust some brackets and make a run?
I feel great. Just love the group as far as what type of people they are, what type of workers they are, just the young men that they are, and their togetherness, how connected they are, and just their work ethic every day. When you got a group like this, we got a special group, and we got a very talented group, and an athletic group, and a skilled group that believes in each other, and they enjoy being around each other. So, you know, but that we had groups like this at Wichita, and year after year after year. And the talent and the athleticism and the skill with this group and size is just bigger and better than the teams that we had at Wichita. And we were able to do some wonderful things at Wichita. So, you know, I've been saying it all year long, and since the day arrived in June, like, I mean, just to be around these guys is they're a joy to coach every day, and they listen and they try and they apply. And they compete, and they're getting better because of it.
Greg Heyer. Great interview yesterday, and it's all on his part. And you know what's ironic? Really funny. As I'm sitting here at the tap room, I'm watching Houston versus UConn. It's an American Athletic Conference game. Right now the Cougars, team with only one loss on their record, came from behind to beat LSU, you'll recall. But right now Houston up by three, 29-26 over UConn. And you look at that Houston Cougars roster, there are three players that start for them that are on the floor right now. Dejon Giroux, Corey Davis, Bryson Gresham, all three from South Louisiana. Of course, Corey Davis right here in the hub city, a former Lafayette High Mighty Lion. And then Giroux and Gresham, a few kids that prepped over at McDonough 35, went all the way up to UMass to start their college career. And now here they are for Kelvin Sampson and a top 10 team in Houston. We'll see if they pull this one out, as they're only up three nearing halftime in Storrs, Connecticut. But team with a lot of Louisiana kids, number nine in the country, LSU, by and large, a team with not as many Louisiana kids as usual this year. We'll see if they make their own push, at least toward the top 10. If they beat Georgia in Athens this Saturday, they certainly are going to have a chance. All right, we're going to take our final break of the program. When we return, Clint, I've got a surprise for you, my friend, a surprise visitor here at the Tap Room River Ranch. I'll tell you all about it on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, having a blast, getting close to 7 o'clock on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, the infamous Clint D back there in the 237 Roof Studios. I say that because I'm going to slap your normal nickname onto your pappy. Because right now the famous Dwayne D is here at the Tap Room just exploring the space, and I'm glad to have my man back. And you and I know that he's been here with us before. I think the last time they did one of those awesome burger cookout Saturdays, he was here, used you as a DD. It's a veteran move. Well, he's back tonight, and he's ready to do the flatbread game, he tells me.
Yeah, the flatbread game is on fire, Ben.
So, apparently, this is what he gets for Valentine's. And so, all I can say to that is, you've got the greatest mom of all time, because that's, if what she wants is tap room flatbread, number one, she's got a great taste buds palate system because it's delicious, but number two, that's like the greatest Valentine's Day request of all time. I got to tell you that. So it's good to have your dad here, man. It's been a while since we've seen him here at the Tap Room. He's back, he's having fun, and soon he and your mom are going to enjoy some of the best flatbread in town.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie, that they've been wanting that for quite some time, and I've had it over there, and it is positively fantastic.
Yeah, he's getting the everything on one of them and then the fig on the other, and so the decisions being made are quality. There's no question about that. So it's good to have him here. I'm telling you, there's a game of shuffleboard that's broken out behind me. People are having an awfully good time. So, you know, about the only thing I could say on that subject is I had a standing thing. My wife and I, at the time, she was my girlfriend and then my fiance. We used to do crawfish on Valentine's Day. And I know that they're available now. I can tell you that I have now had my first batch of the year. But they're just not quite right yet. And the people that I was with, they did them. They bought them live, obviously, and boiled them. And the sauce, or excuse me, I should say the seasoning was incredible. The sauce we dipped them into was good, too. But despite that, they're still just on the smaller side. So I don't know that it's time to pull that trigger yet. Clint, have you been there, done that yet?
No, I have not been. Mind you, I'm not the biggest crawfish guy in the world. Like, crawfish etouffee, I'll get down on. But peeling crawfish, I'll kind of pass on. But that's probably closer towards... Like I'm a, let's yeah, I think I've mentioned this before on the show, Ben. I think this has been confirmed news. I'm not the biggest fan of peeling the crawfish, brother.
Okay, you don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
You don't eat crawfish. Sounds like because you don't like to peel them.
Like the crawfish, like I said, crawfish.
How have you survived? How have you survived in the Acadiana area this long without doing those two things? At least you've got a very, very healthy love for local sports.
Yeah, I think that might be the only thing that's keeping me alive, okay?
Oh, my gosh. All right, so we got a couple of arms behind your back, but at least you're out there and you're kicking at least and trying to advance the ball that way. But no alcohol, no crawfish. He's got a hard lot in life, but at least Papa Domingue knows the drill. In fact, I'm seeing him leave here with a very healthy amount of flatbread. So I don't know if any of that is earmarked for you later tonight. Is that possible as well?
It's a definite possibility, but you're talking about Papa Domingue. I mean, for what it's worth, he is allergic to crawfish, so that's out of the question for him completely.
All right. Now I get it a little bit more. Okay, now that explains why it wasn't a part of your childhood. Okay, so your dad's allergic to crawfish, which that's tough living in this area.
Yep.
Feel for him a little bit. So it just wasn't around you as much. I don't know if your mom had found ways to just kind of hoard that off to herself. I probably would do that if my spouse was allergic to crawfish. But
oh, no, this is like every...
That would have been tough. Hard to hide it, right? Because it just reeks to high heavens. And how do you get rid of it and discard it without everyone knowing?
Oh, no, it's not like that, Ben. I mean, we've got like every year we do a crawfish boil. Me and the entire family does a crawfish boil on my mom's side. So they actually do one on Good Friday. So it's kind of just a big deal. And my dad's always there, just kind of cook, fry some fish for the alternate because he's allergic. One of my uncles is allergic. So it kind of works out.
Just go get the guys some of the leftover sausage and potatoes that weren't mixed in maybe with
not
the rest
Friday.
Of the sauce. So, oh, that's true. That's true. If it's on Good Friday, then no sausage at all. Get the guy some fish. And
there we go.
And maybe he'll just have to be happy with that.
He'll be fine
great
with it.
Great guest. There you are, buddy. Yes, indeed. Can't thank you enough. But I do want to thank our guests so far as I pirate everything that Jordy Holtberg has ever said from 2 to 4 p.m. Our thanks, tongue-in-cheek. I love my guy Jordy. Hunt Palmer joined us at 4:30. Jeff Horchek was with us from 5 until 5:30. Still hanging out, enjoying the tap room. And he had the Schwing wings for the first time. And right now, he's giving me like the rock out fingers right now. So it's not a thumbs up. It's the second finger. It's the fifth finger. And it's the rock out. So he's a flatbread guy normally. He had the wings with the Schwing sauce tonight. And he's a very happy camper. So our thanks again to Hunt Palmer and to Jeff Horchek. And in a weird way, I'll thank Dan McDonald because I got to talk for 15 more minutes than I thought I was today with content. Dan, we are going to do this again. I will find a way to get you on, and I'm going to let Clint play all of the Parrothead Jimmy Buffett that he wants to when we get you. All right, we appreciate everybody listening in today. For our callers, our listeners, everybody who responded on social media, thank you very kindly. For the famous Clint D, or infamous, my name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. Don't forget, tomorrow, B2BS emanates from Northside High School. We'll be out of the gym, excited about that. We begin at 4, and we take it to LSU baseball at 6:30. It's all in a day's work on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.